Morning. This morning's scripture reading will be taken from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Again, that's Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin."
Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it great to be here worshiping in spirit and in truth before a God who loves us? We sung the song, "He loves me." You know, he died because he loves me so. You know, I think about how vile of a person I am when I compare myself to the Almighty God. I mean, I just can't fathom why he loves me so. Jesus came here to die for me because I couldn't do it for myself. None of us could. We just could not go to that cross because we sinned. And so God himself came down. I mean, there is no other religion in the world that has a God coming down and dying for his own creation. So what a God we serve. And man, we should be glad and we should be happy and joyful that we serve such a God. I am happy to be before you today in Greg's absence. You know, it's always a little daunting of a task to stand and try to fill the shoes of Greg Dismuke. But we hope and pray that all is going well in Georgia with the gospel meeting that he's conducting there. And just keep him in prayer and keep that work in prayer. It's just great that he's able to go out and continue to preach the gospel wherever he may go to bring souls to Christ. That's the main thing. We just want to bring souls to Christ and please our God above. The gospel of Jesus Christ for sure has turned many precious souls from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins. We find in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, Christ telling Paul that that would be his mission. There were 3,000 souls in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 who obeyed the gospel. There were 5,000 men in Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, and that's not including, you know, the women. Just 5,000 in Acts 4 and verse 4, just men who obeyed the gospel. Then there were multitudes in Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, and it continues today. It continues today. However, for one reason or another, many souls have turned back to Satan and sin. Ananias and Sapphira, we find in Acts chapter 5. Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Diotrephes, what about the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2 and verse 4, where they were told they had left their first love? And many, many Christians today, even in our congregation, there's some spots empty. You know, Maxwell brought a sermon to you called "The Empty Pew Speaks Volumes." I brought a sermon before you entitled "The Empty Seat Tells a Story." And they focused on those who have gone away from us. They have gone away. So for one reason or another, and you know, and this can be discouraging. You know, when we see our brothers and sisters turn away from Christ, then we can be discouraged. And so we find Jesus on one occasion when many of his disciples turned from following him in John chapter 6. Jesus turns to the 12 because he knows this can be discouraging. And he asks the 12, will you also go away? What a sad question. Will you also go away? And Jesus is still asking me, and he's asking you today. When we see our brothers and sisters turn away, he's asking that question to you and me, will you also go away? Well, you know, Peter says that we don't have to. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will. We're going to mainly be focused in Romans chapter 6. I want to introduce this lesson by using 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 5. Peter gives us a formula here so that we should never fall. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Remember that. Have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you should never fall. So what's the formula? First of all, he says, give all diligence. That means you got to give it your all. To do what? To add to your faith. And then he tells you the things to add to your faith. Why? Why? So that we don't become blind and short-sighted. When a person becomes blind, that means they can't see the consequences of their sin. When a person is short-sighted, then they can't see the coming judgment. And they don't see where they stand before God now because of their sin and how they're going to stand in judgment. But he also says, do this so that you don't forget that you were purged from your old sins. So in this lesson, we're going to consider the latter. And we're going to recall the day that we were purged from our old sins. The day that we first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we believed that gospel, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who went to the cross for us and died on that cross for our sins. And that led us to repent. That means to have a change of mind. To say, I'm no longer going to live this sinful life apart from God and out of the way of Jesus. But now I'm going to follow Jesus' way. And that led us to confess our faith before men. The fact that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, just like the eunuch did. And that also led us, that faith and that gospel led us to be baptized for the remission of our sins. So, brethren, today we're going to go back. Back to the watery grave. We're going to go back and remember that day that we were baptized. So what happened in baptism? Well, first of all, I was connected. And Romans 4 says, and go back to Romans. And we're going to park there and just keep a marker on the book of Romans chapter 6. And verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. So I was connected to the Christ in baptism. Connected to the Christ. Why? Because I was buried with him. I was buried with him. You know, it's not some physical burial, you know, where Christ is in I'm in Christ's physical tomb and he's in there with me. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. When I went down into that water, guess what? I went down into the tomb of Christ spiritually. It's by faith. By faith. It is a spiritual death and a spiritual burial. That's why we call it the watery grave. The watery grave. Not only that, I was bonded to him. I was bonded to him. For if we have been planted together, that word planted together comes from the Greek word symphutos. Symphutos, which means united. You heard in the reading from the New King James, he said united together. United together. The King James says we've been planted together. And how? Through baptism. We've been planted with the Christ. By means of baptism, not by going to the Holy Land. You know, why is it that so many people want to go to Jerusalem, to the Holy Land, so they can get some kind of spiritual connection to Christ? You know, and then they show you this tomb that's not his anyway. So you're peeking in this tomb, and you say, oh, I feel like I've been with Christ now. And then you have those people, those celebrities, that actually go over there, and once they get this feeling, they decide they're going to be baptized. That's not baptism in the name of Christ. They're not baptized because of what they believe in Jesus Christ. They weren't baptized because they repented of their sins and then they confessed that faith. That's not baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, what they've done. Therefore, they're not planted with Christ. They're not united with him. If you want to be united with Christ, you don't have to go to the Holy Land. Just do what Christ says to do. Believe and be baptized. And that's how we're united with him. But not only that, we're buried, we're bonded because we've been baptized into Christ. No, you're not. There's so many of us as we're baptized into Christ. Into Christ. We're baptized into his death. Listen, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So spiritual blessings are in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Got to be baptized. Amen. There are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. Salvation is in Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul will write to Timothy, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Salvation is in Christ. It's not outside of Christ. And how do we get into Christ? According to Romans, we're baptized into him. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. But not only that, the forgiveness of sins, people, is in Christ. It's in Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even, that's right, somebody said, the forgiveness of sins. That's in Christ. No matter what Joel Osteen says, oh, have you said this prayer? If you said this prayer, you have received your forgiveness of sins. Oh, no. It says through baptism, through faith and baptism. That's why Jesus would say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So all of these things, spiritual blessing, salvation, and the forgiveness of sins, they're in Christ. And you have to get into Christ. And how did you get into Christ? You got to go into the watery grave. That's how you get into him, through baptism. But not only that, not only are we connected to the Christ, we're connected to the cross. You ever thought about that? We sung about the cross this morning. But hey, and we talked about the cross at the table. But have you ever thought of the fact that you have been connected to the cross of Christ when you were baptized? Listen, we are buried, bonded. Why? Because we've been baptized into his what? His death. Where did he die? He died on the cross. We're connected to that cross, brethren. We're connected. You know, listen, it is sin that separates us from God. So let's take a little walk back to Isaiah. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It's your iniquities, your sins that separate you from God. And according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, since you're in Romans 6, and you'll flip back to Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 12. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. All have sinned. That means you. That means me. That means your grandmama, your granddaddy, your great-grandma, your great-grand, all the way back to Adam and Eve. We've all sinned. All of us. And if we've all sinned, that means we need to be reconciled. All of us, everybody. And what reconciles us? Christ's death. Christ's death. It reconciles us to God. And how do we get into Christ's death? Baptized. That watery grave. That watery grave. But God committed love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we should be saved from the wrath through him. For if we, when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. That's Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Look, it says we're reconciled by the death of his son. Romans 5. So, you have to get into his death. And the way you get there is by faith and baptism. But the sad thing is, turning back is only going to separate you again. Think about that. And we have people, we have some pews here that are empty. We have some spots that are empty. They've turned back. So they've separated themselves from God. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 66, verse 18. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You want your prayers cut off? Then cut yourself off from the Lord. All you need to do is turn away, and he will not hear you. We have a lot of people today that have turned away, and they've gone out to, seek some endeavor, some worldly endeavor, and they're giving God the credit when they have success. God is answering my prayer. But guess what? God didn't hear their prayer. It's not what the Bible says. When you turn away from God, he's going to turn his face from you. Yeah, maybe that's Satan giving you what you want. You know, isn't that what he tried to do with Jesus? Bow down before me, I'll give you the world. We better be careful. We better be careful. Turn to 1 Peter 3 and chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. It sort of mimics what the psalmist says. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You want to cut yourself off from the Lord? Go back to the world. Go back to the world. He won't see you, and he won't hear you. He don't even want to look at you. You've cut yourself off from him. But brethren, not only am I connected, I've been crucified. Amen. Oh, I'm crucified with the Christ through baptism. When I go back to that watery grave, I see that I am crucified. And so my old self, that old man, that person I used to be, he's gone. He's gone. You know, that's what repentance is all about. That's why you got to repent before you go down into the water. Because right then you're saying, hey, he's gone. I'm going to bury him. I'm burying that old man. When I come up, I'm going to be somebody else. But I'm crucified with him. And so my prior life is gone. Turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is what Paul would write to Timothy, and this is how he explains being crucified. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that means in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Remember the song we just sung? And gave himself for me. Oh, I'm crucified. I'm crucified with him, not apart from him. And that's because of baptism. That's why I'm crucified. So that prior life is gone. And my old sins, my old sins are gone. You know, it says here, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's in verse 6 of Romans 6. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That's why I go down into that water, because I want to get rid of those sins. That prior life is gone. And so my prior record is clean. Wouldn't it be great, you know, if you committed a crime and then you were exonerated and they wiped the record clean? That meant when you go to apply for a job and they ask that question, you know, they ask that question. Whoa, man, people hate that question, don't they? I listen to, look at some of these criminal shows and that's one of the first things the criminals said, I can't get a job because of my record. But imagine if that record was wiped clean, and now when you get that application, you can check no. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Well, guess what? That's how we are before God now. We can check the block no. Committed any sins?
No. God took them sins away. Took them away. When you come up out of that water, you come out clean. Your prior record is gone.
Remember what was written to the Corinthians? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
He said, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And then he says, "Be not deceived." And he goes through this whole list of sins, from fornication to thieves, all the way down to homosexual. He said they won't enter the kingdom of God. No.
But then he turns to those Corinthians and he points, I can see them now, "And such were some of you."
Guess what? That applies to us too.
Amen.
Oh yeah. "And such were some of us." Matter of fact, "And such were all of us." Isn't that something? But guess what?
He goes on to say, "But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." To be washed.
Oh man, isn't that great? That's a great blessing. Go down into that water and come back up,
and your sins have been washed away. All your sins are gone.
Revelation 1 and verse 5.
It reads, "And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Look, the water is just an element.
The blood is the agent. Oh, that's the cleansing agent. You know, it's just like when you wash your clothes. You just throw your clothes in water, fill the washing machine up with water, and just let it go. I don't think your clothes will get very clean, would they? But you have to put a cleansing agent in there. I remember hearing Marshall Keeble talk about this. You know, all that soap that you put in there, you know, we might use some Tide, if that don't cause you to itch. You know, I think some people, yeah, Tide would be a little strong. But it'll get the dirt out, won't it? Or you use some Chair. Some people use that stuff called OxyClean now, you know, oxygen and all this kind of stuff inside. Yeah, they're always a gimmick, isn't it? And then there's bleach. Yeah, you want something to get nice and white? Sometimes you gotta add a little bleach. Those are cleansing agents. But to clean your soul, you need the blood of Christ. Yeah. Yeah, we go down into the water. The water ain't cleansing you. It's the blood of Christ. Yeah, we come in contact with the blood when we go down into that water. We're washed in his blood. Jesus shed his blood where? At his death, right? We're baptized, what? Into what? His death. Baptized into his death, so baptism connects us to his death, which connects us to that soul-cleansing agent, the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, why tarriest thou? Paul would be asked when he was Saul. Why are you waiting, Saul? Arise and be baptized, and do what? Wash away thy sins. Yeah, baptism. Wash away your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. You remember those people on the day of Pentecost when they finally had been preached the gospel, Peter and the apostles preached the gospel to them, and they learned that they had crucified the Christ. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Why? Because they knew they stood guilty before God. And Peter would say, "Let every one of you repent and be baptized," what? "In the name of Jesus Christ." For what?
Remission.
For the remission of sin. You know what remission means? It means removal. For the removal. So they can be washed from their sins. But you know what? As we read earlier, many of those folks turned back. We named some of them. And many today have turned back.
And turning back to sin is a filthy, pitiful sight. Turn to 2 Peter, if you will, chapter 2. It is a pitiful sight when you turn back to sin. It says in 2 Peter, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and are overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Let's just stop right there for a second. They escaped the pollutions of the world. You know, I remember when I was when I was young, and I got my first car.
It was a Datsun. Some of y'all don't even know what that is anymore. You know, it went from Datsun and then Datsun Nissan, and now it's Nissan. Okay, for you younger folks, it's Nissan. But back then it was Datsun. It was a 200SX. It was, I called it Midnight Black, because it was black with blue metal flake. Oh, it was a pretty car. Two-tone blue interior, and then it had a cockpit that light up like a, or a dashboard that light up like the cockpit of a jet fighter. And my nephews, I don't see Mike here, but man, we used to ride in that car, and they loved it. But you know what? I parked that car somewhere one day, you know, brand new, come back out. Somebody had opened their door, boom, little ding there in the scratch. You know how you feel? You're like, oh, man, no. Why did they do that? You know, because, Let me tell you something worse that happened. Parked at the shipyard. Somebody said, oh, already. And I parked by the bleachers by the apprentice school. I come back out after work, and my car had these orange specks all over it. Now, you talk about a black car with orange specks, come on. Looked like a meteor shower was going on in my car. I couldn't believe it. Brand new, brand spanking new. And here it got these orange specks. And you know what? I went back into the building, and I complained about it. I said, there's nothing we can do. They had no signs posted, no nothing. What they did, they painted the bleachers at the apprentice school. And the wind blew all the paint right on my car. Yeah, hey, brand new now. So how do I feel about that? But yeah, eventually they took care of it. I complained. You better believe I complained. And insurance adjuster came out, and he said, well, we're going to have to paint your car. You're going to get a new paint job because this is cement-based paint. It won't come out. Oh, man, a brand new car. Yeah, see? Even babies know. So, you know, just imagine, ladies, you're about to get married and you got that brand new wedding gown on, and you got some little kid come out just finished eating their french fries with ketchup all over their hands, and they want to come and grab on to you. Yeah, uh-oh. You wouldn't want that to happen. You got this brand, you want to be presented without spot, like Christ says, without wrinkle. Without spot, that's how the church is going to be presented. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. Without spot or without wrinkle. But when you turn back, look at how the Lord views you. This is the rest of 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. He said, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than if after they had known it, turned from the holy commandment, delivered them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned back to his own vomit. I want to say that like vomit. You know, I had a dog when I was young, and when my dog would get sick, that's exactly what he would do. He'd vomit, and next thing I know, he'd go right back over there and start licking it up. And even as a kid, I'm like, oh, and I'm trying to pull him away from his own vomit. But that's how God sees you when you turn back to sin. And it says, the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. The sow, was a pig. You know, like you go to the state fair and you see that they've cleaned up their pigs and they put them out on display. And you know, they're trying to win the blue ribbon for the prize pig. But as soon as that pig gets back to the farm, what's it going to do? It's going to jump right back in the pig pen, back in the mire, in the muck. That's where they want to be. But that's how God sees you. That's how God will see me if I turn back from Christ. Man, that's a pitiful sight. I don't want God to see me like that. But that's what he says. That's how he says he sees us when we turn back. So, brethren, I've been connected. I've been crucified, but I've also been created. Oh, yeah. When I go down into that water, it says that I come up. I'm raised up to walk. How? In newness of life. In newness of life. So I have a new beginning. I'm brand new. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from by the glory of the Father from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So I've been recreated, brethren. Recreated. You remember the conversation that Jesus would have with Nicodemus? And he would tell Nicodemus that a man would have to be born again. Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then Nicodemus asked the question, "Well, how can a man be born again?" You know, but Jesus answered it. He said, "Except a man, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water," that's baptism, "and of the Spirit," that's by the word of God. Because it's the Spirit who gave us the word through the apostles, who gave us the plan of what to do to be saved. Jesus gave them the gospel. "Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And that's what the Spirit gave them to preach. So the water and the Spirit. And then Peter will put it like this in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So there's that Spirit again, because you got the water and you got the word. And it's the Spirit who gave us the word. He is the revealer. So I've been recreated, brethren, but I've also been re-related. I'm recreated and re-related and re-affiliated. But re-related, turn to Galatians, if you will. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. It says, "You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So now I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. But how am I a child of God? It says, by faith. But how was that faith demonstrated? He says, he continues and says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That's how I became a child of God. So now I am re-related. I have a new relationship. I'm no longer related to the world. I'm related to God now. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And now I've also been re-affiliated. Acts 2 and verse 47. What was Jesus doing? He was adding those that were being saved to what? To the church. I'm affiliated with the church now, which is the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit," there we go, the Spirit again, remember, got to be born again by water and the Spirit. "By one Spirit, we are what? We're all baptized into one body." That's the Lord's church. So by the Spirit, that means through the word of God, because the Spirit that gave us the word, I've been baptized. So we have the water and the Spirit right there. You know, no matter what they say, these TV evangelists say, when they say, "Hey, if you say this prayer, you've been born again." Haven't you heard them say that? Where's the baptism? Where's the watery grave? Where's being connected? Where's being crucified? And where's being recreated? You can't do that in a prayer. You just can't. And so now, I have a new being. I have a new beginning. And now I'm a new being. I'm a new person. I'm a new person. It says, "For in Christ," and in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision," that's Galatians, 6 and verse 15, "neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Galatians 6 and verse 15. I'm a new creature. I'm a new being. I'm a new person. And so therefore, I have a new walk. So 1 Corinthians verse 5 and 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus," any man be in Christ Jesus, "he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I have a new walk in life now, people. And so do you. It's a new walk in a new way. And therefore, Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2 tells me I got to set my mind to be different. You know, I got to set my mind to be different. I can't think the way that I used to think. Said, if you then be risen with Christ, to do what? Seek those things, what? Which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Not to seek the things that are on earth, it tells us. That's the way we used to be. That was our old mindset. I've been recreated. I need to set my affections on things above. So a different mindset. I have a whole new walk now. But not only that, I'm a new workmanship. God is molding me to be something different. I'm a new workmanship. You know, Ephesians 2 and verse 10,
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what God is molding me to do now, to do good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Remember, walk in newness of life. So now I'm being molded. He's the potter, and I'm what? The clay. He's the potter, and you're what? The clay. We need to remember that. I'm not here to do my own bidding. I'm here to do God's. And when you turn back, you're turning to do your own bidding. You know, that's why people turn back. They want to do what they want to do. And so now, I have a new worth. I have a new worth. You know, it is so funny where, you know, that people have this problem with self-esteem. The gospel is the cure for that. It should be. You know, in James chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. There's the word again. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. In other words, we're the best of the best now in God's sight. Why should I have low self-esteem when I know that before God, I'm the best of his creatures now? You know, I'm different from the world. I'm not like I was before. God looks at me different now. I'm one of his first fruits. And that's all I need to know if I'm going to have good, you know, high self-esteem. It don't matter what you think about me. It don't matter what anybody thinks about me. But it does matter what the Lord thinks about me. And if he's looking at me as being one of his first fruits, that's all I need. That's all I need. I don't need no psychiatrist to tell me that. That I'm worth something. God told me that I'm worth something. As a matter of fact, the fact that he came down to die for me lets me know that I'm worth something. Even as a sinner, I was worth something, but now I'm worth even more. Amen. Oh, you know, I'm worth even more. That's the kind of psychology we need, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and conclude this. I've been connected by the watery grave. I've been crucified by the watery grave. And I've been created anew by the watery grave. So why would you go back? Why would you go back into the world? Why have so many of our members gone back into the world? I'm preaching this so that you won't be discouraged. Amen. And so that I won't be discouraged. Amen. You know, I want you to stay with Christ. Amen. And remember what he says when he asks that question. But look, instead of me concluding, let's let the Bible conclude. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. There's no better conclusion for this sermon than this scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 26 through 31. It says, if we sin willfully, that means, hey, it's not, I didn't make some mistake here or there. It wasn't through ignorance. It wasn't because I didn't know right now. You know, I'm still growing. This is talking about sinning willfully. You know, when you turn back, that's what you're doing. You're sinning willfully. After that, I've received the knowledge of the truth, and there remain no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fear and indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Remember, short-sighted? You know, when you're short-sighted, you don't see that this is coming. He that despised Moses' law, now we're talking Moses' law, not the gospel of Christ, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. What about those who turn from Christ and despise his law? Look at what it says here. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God? When you walk away, you are stepping on the Son of God. You ever thought about it like that? You are trampling over the Son of God. And you don't think that's serious? And have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite to the Spirit of grace. So there you have the blood, and now you have the Spirit. I'm despising the Spirit, and I'm counting the blood to be something unholy. Christ went to the cross for me, and I'm counting his blood as unholy. But we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me. our recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. But then look at how he ends. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So I'm going to leave you with the question. Will you also go away? I hope this lesson is at least giving you some knowledge or some strength or some encouragement not to go away. No matter how bad things get, don't go away from God. Don't go away. Remember that you are connected, you're crucified, and you've been created anew. And now you are like, you are one of his first fruits. And God is with you. No matter how bad things seem, God is with you. Don't become short-sighted and not see afar off. Because one day, no matter what's happening to you in this world, God's got you covered. Because heaven is waiting. Heaven is waiting for you. You know, and man, none of the things that we suffer here on earth is going to be worth missing heaven. No. So, I ask you the question. If you have been away from God, then why don't you come back? Why don't you come back to him? You need to repent and ask God to forgive you of your sins. And just come back to the Lord and let him restore you, because it says, you know, if you've been baptized, you've received the blood. And once you go to God again and repent of those sins, guess what? That cleansing agent works again. You know, a lot of times our clothes get dirty again, don't it? What we have to do? Put it back in the wash. Get that soap back on there. Get it clean again. That's what we got to do with God. Something pulls you away, come back to God. And for those of you who have never put Christ on in baptism, this is what you're missing. This is what you're missing. And so we ask you, if you've heard the gospel that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and he died for your sins, and you believe that gospel, why don't you repent of your sins? Change your mind and decide to live for Christ. And then come and confess that faith in Christ Jesus before us. And then we'll baptize you. We're ready. We're ready to put you into the watery grave of baptism. So if you're ready to respond, why don't you do so? And for those of you who are just on the, you know, just on the edge of turning away, then I'm going to leave you with this. Just go back. Go back to the watery grave. Don't get pushed over the edge and leave Christ. If you need to respond, come and do so while we stand and sing.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay.